Security, in our English language, is one of those words that can mean a lot of different things. Depending upon who you are or what you're thinking about, security may be an amount of money that you put down on an apartment when you move in. And as long as you pay your rent on time, don't damage the carpet and don't play darts on the sheetrock walls, you'll probably get your security back when you move out of that apartment. Security may mean that man or group of men who accompany an important person. A security detail is usually made up of several folks who are prepared to handle almost any kind of dire emergency in order to protect someone that they have been assigned to protect. Security to you may be in the form of stocks and bonds or something like that, those kind of things that are overseen by the organization referred to as the Securities and Exchange Commission. Security to you may mean the risk or the freedom from risk or danger or doubt or anxiety or fear. Now put that last definition in a spiritual context. The freedom from risk or danger or doubt or anxiety or fear. In a spiritual context, that's what we're talking about tonight. In a physical sense, almost everybody wants to be secure. In a spiritual sense, well, not so much. I wish it were not that way. I wish more folks were concerned with spiritual security. God's Word tells us how to accomplish spiritual security, and it's that subject that we're going to be studying tonight. Our lesson is based in Psalm 46. If you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to open up there. We're going to be reading that entire chapter. It's divided up, because of the nature of Hebrew poetry, it's divided up into three sections, and each of those sections lends itself to the point that we're going to be talking about and some of the songs that we're going to be singing with those points. And so follow along with me as we read each of those sections in just a few minutes. But each of those sections tells us something very important about spiritual security, the Christian's security, the kind of security that you and I as God's people need to be more concerned for. Let's begin our study with this point. Our security as children of God is in God and not in this world. Beginning in verse 1, the writer says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. It's God, no other. We turn to the Creator, not the creation. We are to love the giver, not the gifts. This world actually has little to offer us in the way of security. As the psalmist says, the earth, the mountains, the sea, everything about this earth, all of those things are going to fail sooner or later. Some parts will fail in an incremental way. There will be natural disasters that will involve the physical failure of the world in pieces and parts and sections in which we live. There will be man-made disasters that will cause the loss or the destruction of many things, and some of those things are things of the created earth. We spoke this morning about the upcoming election, the decisions and the dictates of men, the laws and the treaties and the rules and the regulations. All of those things affect us in some ways, and the decisions that are made, the votes that are cast, the results of those kind of things will have an effect on us in a physical and a social way. But there's no permanent security in those things. In fact, even the technology and the advancements that we have seen in the past few years, and it's interesting to research that subject and to notice how much technology has advanced in just a few years compared to how much mankind has learned and gained in the last 500 years. The last 500 years won't begin to compare with the last 10 years of technological advancements. But even with all of that advancement, with all of the wisdom and the knowledge that man has gained and developed, with the physical progress of things like defenses and armories and warfare and the ability to fight and to win, this world is little safer than it was 1,000 years ago. In fact, we here in our prosperity actually feel more threatened than those who live in the remotest of villages or mountains secluded from the majority of civilization. In fact, it is a true principle that the more we progress, the more dangerous we feel that we become. The more this world goes forward, the more risky life is. I read about a retired couple who was alarmed by the threat of nuclear war in the late 1970s. And so once they were retired, they undertook a serious study of all of the inhabited places on the globe, and they were determined to find that place in the world that would be the least likely affected by warfare, a place of ultimate security where they could spend the rest of their lives in peace and tranquility. They studied and traveled and traveled and studied and researched and read and talked to people, and finally they found a place, a little island off the coast of South America. And they sent out cards in December of 1981 to all of their friends from their new home in the Falkland Islands. The following April, Friday the 2nd, Argentina invaded and inhabited the Falkland Islands, beginning the war with Great Britain that lasted for 74 days and killed 907 people on that little island of paradise. There is only one place to go for security, and that's to God.
How firm a foundation is saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled, fear not, I am with you.
Our security comes through our faith, not from our circumstances. Beginning with verse 4 there in Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Those verses describe what is referred to as the city of God. It is described as a very secure place, a very safe place, and there is one singular reason why it is described in that way. It's not because it has immense walls that are too high to climb over or too thick to penetrate through by the enemies. It's not because it has huge, strong gates that cannot be opened even by the mightiest of battering rams. It's not because it's a city that's full of seasoned warriors with great weapons. It is because God is there. That's why it's such a secure place. Through our faith, we know God. In a very similar way to that passage we read this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, we could say of God, we have not seen Him, yet we believe in Him. We cannot hear a literal voice as He speaks to us, but we have His Word, and our faith comes from hearing that Word. It is our faith in God that bridges the gap between God's security and our helplessness. The songs that we're about to sing emphasize that faith and what we do with that faith.
Now hear me while I pray.
Our security is in eternity, not in the present. Beginning in verse 8, the psalm continues, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Here the psalmist reminds us again of something that's repeated over and over and over in Scripture from the very beginning all the way to the very end. That is, God has the final word. This morning we talked about, again, all of those things that have an effect on us, and yet we know that they are not permanent. We know that this world is going to pass away. We know that we're living here just simply for the purpose of being prepared for heaven. Now, a lot of folks live like they don't know that. I hope you and I don't live as though we don't know that. But this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Peter says we're strangers and pilgrims, aliens and sojourners, just travelers. I used to like to travel. I like to stay home now. But you know, we don't always get our likes. But I have talked to many, many people who neared the end of their lives here on this earth. And those who saw clearly what God's Word teaches and viewed it and approached the sundown time of life, as we call it sometimes, with the biblical perspective, pretty much without exception, have told me, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go." Go where? Go home. Because you see, the older we get, if we're thinking clearly, the more we realize this is not home. It's like Sam Long said a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night. Remember, he told about all the places that he'd lived and where he'd grown up, and he was from Tennessee originally. He said, "That's not really home anymore." He lived in Mississippi for what? They said, "That's not home." He lived in Florida for 30 years. "That's not home," he said. And you say, "Well, you live in Montgomery now." He said, "Well, that's not home." What did he say was home? He said, "Heaven. My heaven. My home." That's what it is. Our security is not here in the present on this earth. As I said at the beginning, we all like security. We like to feel secure. Some of us have security systems in our houses. Some of us, you know, depend on things that make us feel secure. But you know, that's not real security. There are no guarantees in this world. There are no guarantees for anything in this world. There are no guarantees for any of us in this world. It's all about eternity. And this world is not eternity. Eternity is guaranteed. There is no greater security than the security that God offers in view of eternity.
the Savior's love. Where I'll be good and whole and live with my God above.
In Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8, the psalmist says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. How secure are you? I don't mean your house. I don't mean your job. I don't mean your retirement, your bank account, or anything like that. What I mean is your soul. How secure are you spiritually? If you're not a child of God, there is no security in your life of the meaningful kind. If you've never obeyed the gospel, everything is going to be lost if nothing changes. But if you believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and are willing to be baptized, the Lord's Word says your sins will be washed away. You'll become a new creature. Begin living in newness of life. If perhaps you've already done that but have become unfaithful to that responsibility that we've been given as God's children, renounce the sin that has separated you from God. Come back, seeking the forgiveness and the restoration that God offers. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.